Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Before we get into our main segments this evening, why don't we first start with getting some housekeeping out of the way, and then we'll move into all the various different type of segments we're going to talk about tonight. If you are interested in viewing any of my books, please go to paranormaluniversalpress.com. And on that website, you will see descriptions and you'll see the 8 books I currently offer on Amazon. Again, the best book that I would purchase would be Manifestations because it has 4 of the books within that book. Also, more housekeeping to get out of the way. Mildred will be joining us this evening and we'll probably end up doing 1 or 2 segments within this show. So we welcome her back to the show. And of course, third piece of housekeeping here is that I hope everyone is staying safe during this unpredictable and unprecedented time with this COVID-19. Very frustrating indeed. Hope everybody around the world here is being able to manage this with safety and keeping yourselves and your loved ones a bit out of the danger zone. Alrighty then, let's see here. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? That's probably something you would like to know about. We're going to talk about, for the main segments, vengeful ghosts, and we're also going to talk about haunted handprints. A few weeks ago, I never would have thought in a million years that I would be talking about haunted handprints. But I have now had experiences personally with 2 of them, which I'll be discussing. One that showed up on my body and another one that showed up on my dusty dresser. But we'll talk about that in a few minutes here. Mildred tonight is going to join us with Ghoulish Chatterbox, and I think you'll find that relatively entertaining. Then we'll move into the Haunted Report, and then I think you'll also find the Vengeful Ghost segment to be quite interesting as well, because it's also a follow-up to a guest who I had on my show a couple years ago, talking about her murdered sister. And believe it or not, there's a belief that what has just happened to the murderer was payback. Could it be possible that someone could actually pay somebody back from beyond the grave? I don't know. Let's stay tuned and find out. Back in a moment.
Do you often sleep
with the lights on? Stretching my arms and saying, "What a beautiful morning." No one's going to take my dreams away today because yes, 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 it is a beautiful morning. Today, I think I'm going to...
Mildred, get down here. Guess what day it is today? It's cleaning day.
Ew, so much for my good, beautiful morning here.
I hate cleaning day. It's dusty, it's stinky, it's smelly, it's... How do I get out of this dreadful situation?
Mildred, I think we're going to start with our favorite activity. Let's do some dusting today.
Dusting. When was the last time Dr. Kelly actually dusted this house? Oh my goodness. You could literally take a cup off the dresser and put it right back on in the same spot. Ew, I hate dusting. Well, I guess if it has to be like this, I might as well go back to my good morning moment. Here we go. Good morning to all. Happy dusting. Well, if I have to dust, I might as well be a cheerleader. Let's give it a D-U-S-T. I love dusting. Now let's go over here. Oh, yucky. My goodness. Is that dust or is that something like crawling all over that thing? Well, let's see here. Let me take a look at this for a moment.
Mildred, did you manage to get the corner of the room over there?
Corner of the room? I think she's referring to vacuuming, not dusting. Back to my cheerleading. Let's give it a D. Let's give it a U. Let's give it an S and a T. Good morning, dusting!
And Mildred, make sure you get every single piece of dust.
Yes, Dr. Kelly. Whoo, heavy sigh. Did I hear somebody come in?
Welcome to the Haunted Report.
Dr. Kelly, can I give the Haunted Report today?
Yes, Mildred, you can give the report today, but just make sure you stick to the script.
Stick to the script? Well, what if I disagree with the script?
It doesn't matter. A script is the script. And this one involves a report from the United Kingdom where there is a home that was haunted, actually by a ghost that was leaving handprints all over the walls.
Handprints all over the walls? Well, that's really strange.
Just stick to the script, Mildred. Stick to the script.
Okay, everybody, I'm going to give you the haunted report. The report is based out of the United Kingdom, where the title says, Mum. What's a mum?
Mildred, just stick to the script.
Mum fears home is haunted by a ghost leaving handprints on walls after learning new house holds a dark secret. Ooh, Dr. Kelly, I'm scared already.
Just stick to the script.
Well, okay, it says that this Joanne Gallagher believes that there's a child ghost by the name of Benny. I wonder if Benny's my cousin.
Mildred, to the script.
Ghost by the name of Benny is hanging around her home and says she now has a bad feeling about the property. Hey, I object to that. Bad feeling about a property just because someone's hanging around? That's probably my cousin she's talking about.
Mildred, just stick to the script.
All right. A mom of three fears her home is haunted by a child ghost. Dr. Kelly, what age is the ghost?
Mildred, we don't know that. Just stick to the script.
Who leaves black handprints on the walls after learning a dark secret about her property. This article states that Joanne Gallagher says she thinks the spirit is named Benny is behind the strange going on at her new house after she found creepy black handprints on her daughter's bedroom wall. I object to the word creepy. I'm pretty sensitive to that word.
Mildred, sometimes these things are just a little bit unnaturally creepy, okay? So, continue on.
Well, she was cleaning her 8-year-old daughter's Amy's room. I wonder if Amy's my 26th cousin.
Mildred?
While she was on a holiday 2 weeks ago and she spotted some black dusty hand marks on the wall. The 39-year-old mum claims it could have not been her daughter's handprints since she was on holiday at the time and instead believes it could be Benny, who tried to communicate with the family on numerous occasions. The family has since learned that a young man hanged himself under the stairs before they moved in, and that she was a little freaked out by it, and that the whole property now gives her a bad feeling. So I'm looking at the handprints, Dr. Kelly, and they look awfully familiar.
Mildred, we'll talk about my situation in just a moment, okay?
Amy was, with her father, that would be the little girl, at the time and wasn't due back for the next day, so it couldn't have been her handprints. I have had, this is what the mom says, past experiences with spirits, and she supposes that some people would say that she's sensitive to spirits, for example, her grandmother, and that the house does seem to have general eeriness. The article continues to state that she's looked into the house and things, and a friend told her that she knew that there was a family living in the house before she moved in, and that apparently their young son, who was in his teens or early 20s, hanged himself under the stairs. Oh, that's so sad.
Keep reading, Mildred.
The article says that she thinks it might have been quite difficult for her to tell this mum that this had happened there, and that sometimes she feels a ghostly presence, and then sometimes she says that the handprints were made of black dusty substance, and that they wiped away easily, and that there hasn't been anything showing up there since. So she says that there's no way she could have missed them earlier in the week, because she's pretty thorough with her cleaning. She claims it's not her first experience with the supernatural, and that the whole house has been a hotbed of ghostly going-ons. I wonder what else is going on, Dr. Kelly. She said that one night, a few months ago, she was lying in bed and her son was out at a girlfriend's house. I need to question her parenting there.
Mildred?
That she was sleeping and she heard someone whispering in her ear, "Mummy, mummy." And because she wasn't fully awake, she thought it was her own child, and the next minute, she felt some pressure on her shoulder. And then she shouted, "Please stop it, you're scaring me," and it stopped. Anyway, when she didn't tell the little girl because she thought it would scare her, because she's only 8 years old. She's around my age. Wait a minute, I think I'm a little bit older. And then when she's playing, she tries to keep the doors closed and keep the heat on, but her little girl sometimes won't let her in her room. And so one time she was sleeping in the mum's room when she heard a cry saying that she had seen a lady standing in the corner. And we actually have evidence of a woman with black hair peering around from top of the stairs. Okay, Dr. Kelly, this is starting to make me nervous. The house has quite a big open space at the top of the stairs, and she said that the kids claimed they saw a woman with dark hair peering from there. And then that the other night that her daughter woke up crying, saying she had seen a little boy in her dream and that his name was Ben. And on the same night, she took the picture of the handprints and a lady gave her a private reading and said that she felt there was a little boy in the house by the name of Benny. So the mom was kind of reminiscing about her deceased grandmother and now wonders sometimes if the old lady that peers in the house or on the corner might be her grandmother just returning to meet her daughter, and she would say that her connection with the afterlife goes right back to her childhood, where she has always felt like something was there, and that after her grandmother died, that she was the last spirit that she had seen, and she was 15 years old at the time. She said her son has experiences with spirits as well, and that he has had a few happenings there, and that one night the lights went out, and he heard a voice saying, "Sean, I'm down here." Ooh, creepy! I don't think that's my cousin.
Mildred, thank you. That was actually a very good job of reading that article, although you reacted a little bit too much, but on the most part, most people would react if they heard a story like this. So we're going to talk a little bit about what happened when I had a handprint show up on my body just a few weeks ago, and we're going to elaborate more on this haunted handprint story. Thank you, Mildred, and everybody, stay tuned. Well, let's see if you'll be interested in these segments tonight. I'm going to actually talk about two different types of segments in this episode. One is on vengeful ghosts, those that get revenge on those that are still living. And then, of course, the other segment, which I personally experienced twice now, haunted handprints, one on my body, very, very red, obvious handprint, and then one on my dresser, which I never touch, but full of dust, that I noticed last night. Same exact handprint. I did take pictures of them. You know, it's too bad that sometimes I mean, I could post these pictures somewhere, but I don't know. It's easier for me sometimes just to put this stuff in a book and have an arrow pointed to it so everybody can benefit from it and try to figure out what it is. But these are going to be the educational portion of this podcast. But so let's start out with just something very basic and move our way into these segments. And I want to first start with going back and kind of pseudo-defining the science and the logic of ghosts. And I found this article, and it brought up some things that just kind of nicely kind of put this in place, that when we experience something that's unusual or can't be explained or extraordinary, many of us have a tendency to want to label those situations, okay? You've heard the old saying, there's no such thing as a coincidence. Sometimes there are, okay? But sometimes there's not a coincidence. I want to say there aren't, but there's not. And so, but we have a tendency as humans to pass off everything because or redefine it or explain it differently just on the simple basis that we're too busy to want to sit and ponder and wonder about it 24 hours a day. So in this article here, when it talks about science especially, one of the things that scientists are first, most of them, not all, the ones that are especially that are skeptics, these are the ones I'm referring to. They would say, baloney. You know, there's a logical explanation for that. But is there? Then explain it and show it. And then they would say the same thing about a believer. You believe in ghosts? Well, then show me and, point it out here. Why is it that some people have experiences and others do not? There's a number of factors that go along with that. And especially since I'm a magnet to these things, I'm constantly being, you know, having something come near me, by me, around me, or whatever, trying to capture or catch my attention just to let me know that something's there. Well, I already know personally with over 100 plus different types of experiences. Yeah, you've proven me. There's no one that's going to ever make me into a skeptic here. I just know that, especially my friends that are skeptics, they don't have these experiences. And even if they did, they would redefine them as something else and then pass it off and then walk away from the conversation. So let's see, what else does it stay here? Well, ghost hunters. One of the things that we all do is we run after this because we're trying to figure it out. Well, I don't know if we'll ever figure it out. I've said that before, and I'm going to say it again. I don't even know if anyone can get close enough to figuring it out. We're getting more information based on the types of cameras we have and the equipment we have and some of the experiences we have and dot. But on the other hand, I'm not really quite sure we can put our finger yet on exactly what we're experiencing. What else does it say here? Most people who believe in ghosts do so because of some personal experience. Correct. So at the point where someone changes from a believer to a hard, or from a skeptic to a hardcore believer is usually at the point where something is happening that is so convincing that they can't explain it otherwise. And then they kind of, as they say, go to the other side, you know? When I grew up, you know, we really didn't talk about ghosts. It was really kind of the greatest thing from my mind, except like I was saying, when I was 9 years old and in my grandparents' house, there was just a feeling in there that I always had. And some would say, oh, it's a house. You're not in here very much. You haven't met your comfort level, yada, yada. There's a curtain, you know, that they used as a door that was above the stairs. I mean, who doesn't get freaked out about who's behind the curtain going up to the upper level, right? But I did have experiences in that house. And at first I passed it off as anxiety and just being in an environment that I wasn't in a lot all the time. But I knew that there was something more in that house. And the story of the house was that the previous owner, she had a fire in the kitchen or in the porch area, in the kitchen area. And in her attempt to put it out, she passed away from this fire. My belief is that it's this woman, angry, probably taken too soon. It's her house, nobody else's house. You don't belong in here. And her presence was definitely in there. And I was attacked in that house, thinking that when I got older that nothing could scare me because I was older now and I wasn't a chicken anymore. Come to find out, I ran out of that house in my young 30s, early 40s, faster than being a youngster. So I don't know. I cannot explain. Some of us who are sensitives just know, you know. Let's see here. What else does this article say that might be of some use or value here? Oh, it just talks about ghost clubs are dedicated to finding evidence. Well, aren't we all? You know, aren't we all? One of the things that I can tell you about myself is that ever since I had that experience in that very haunted bed and breakfast over, I believe, in Wales, ever since I had that experience that just absolutely traumatized me, I have laid off of doing hardcore ghost finding. I mean, I had experiences well before that one, but that one was the most traumatic, the one that left its scar on my soul, probably to the point that it had changed me. But what it hasn't changed is the fact that I still have experiences. So, you know, and they vary, and I can tell when they're happening, and it's all kinds of different things here. So, let's see. I don't know. Let me pass this one by. Let's go into this one. 7 symptoms of being haunted. Okay, I thought, well, this is interesting. Lay it on me. What do you think? It says that there are 7 of the most common reported symptoms of being haunted. 1, feeling as though you've been punched, slapped, or pinched. Well, I'm not sure I would go to that extreme. I have been put in a trance. I have been kicked up in the air. I have had things shown to me. I have gotten sick from being physically attacked by a ghost. My radar can go off, and usually knowing where a ghost is usually likes its favorite spot in a room. I've been pretty good at picking that out lately. I don't know. I can just sense this stuff faster than most people. Here, it feels like many people report having been slapped, pinched or punched, awake while sleeping and choked too. I've been choked, by the way. And then awoken to find a shadowy figure hovering over or near their bed as if they were attacked. I've been sat on, but I wouldn't say that I was slapped, punched, or anything. What they're talking about here is what people refer to as sleep paralysis. You know, having something sit on you. That's the second one here. Being completely paralyzed at night. They believe that demons are responsible for this phenomenon, referred to as nighttime paralysis. Waking up unable to move, but being terrified by it. Thinking it's a possible, maybe medical condition. And it just involves the temporary inability to move or speak. while being conscious enough to feel like something is happening to you. Another one is unexplained scratches, cuts, or bruises on the body. That is definitely something that comes to people's mind, thinking that it's possibly a poltergeist activity in different types of stages. But for the first time in my entire life, which we'll get into in the second segment, I've never woken up where I've gone to the bathroom, looked in this mirror, and seeing this blood red handprint on my, just above my, you know, on my chest, above my private area, okay? And when you see that and it lasts for 3 hours, is that a bruise? I don't know. Is that a cut? No. Is that a scratch? No. But it's a handprint, and what is it doing there? I've never in my life have ever experienced that, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Feeling as though someone is strangling or suffocating you. Yeah. So I've been choked twice. I've probably been suffocated more, whatever, but I do have sleep apnea. And did I think that it was by a demon attack? In my previous or my former home, I did. I learned the hard way on that one. And I also could tell you that when your husband starts acting really strange, and you know how he acts normally and he doesn't normally act strange, well, then you know you have a possession that's happening in front of you. So, you know, there's many different types of experiences people go through, especially when they are having experience of being haunted. Eye irritation. Well, that's interesting. Let's see what it has to say. Let me just flip this over. I didn't print that one page out. It says a physical symptom could of a haunting could be irritation in the eyes, or the feeling that the inside of the eyelids are being pulled. Is that the same as allergy season? Because if that is, I'm not quite sure. I know that I've had puffy eyes here for the last few days, and people are complaining about allergies. And that's exactly what I lead it to. But it is, I do have this dry eye syndrome. And it can result from the possibility of something that could be paranormal. But on the other hand, I would like to believe that it has something to do with the dust in my house and then also allergies. And then it talks again about, this is the one that I found most interesting, experiencing an unpleasant taste in the mouth or bad breath. Well, everybody has bad breath, I'm sorry, you know. But here's what it says that caught my attention. These tastes are often described as metallic. Although this can be attributed to a number of medical conditions, such as pregnancy and allergies, it can also be a side effect of certain medications as prescribed for blood pressure, osteoporosis, or glaucoma. Well, let's see here. I know I have a cataract starting, but I don't think that that's what it is. Osteoporosis, I was told I've got arthritis in my body. Not sure. Blood pressure, not really. But I can tell you one thing about this metallic taste. So I brought this up to my doctor a couple years ago when they discovered I had cancer. By the way, I'm cancer-free now, so I'm okay. Never felt better in my life and since my surgery, okay? So just know that miracles do happen. But I was telling that my surgeon, my doctor, I said, yeah, I knew I had cancer because I had this metallic taste in my mouth. And he just sat there and he looked at me like I was flipping weird, you know? And I just said, well, my dad always talked about he had cancer, and he talked about how he has this metallic taste in his mouth, da-da-da-da-da. So I just associated it with cancer. But one of the things that was happening when I was having this taste, which we don't know what it was truly associated with, I'll never really know, is that this was in my former house where I was having quite a bit of activity in my bedroom. And I remember when I woke up this one morning and I had this metallic taste in my mouth. And I know that the night before, the television went on at like 2 o'clock in the morning. It just popped. Oh, I just hate that. I hate it when they mess with electronics. My body was touched, down by my bum. I wrote about that in one of my books, is that, you know, I call it the butt swiper. And, I woke up and I said, don't ever do that again. 'Cause I knew exactly that, there's a sensation and a feeling you get when you're touched by an apparition or what we refer to as a ghost. It's a very, very smooth gliding touch. It's light, but it's still, you can still feel it. And it's not wind or anything like that. And it just so happens that I believe it was the next morning when I had this taste in my mouth. And I thought, like I said, I passed it off as having cancer. And that cancer wasn't discovered at my former house, which was in Indiana. That cancer was discovered here, where I'm at now in Minnesota. So, I don't know. You tell me. I mean, so anyway, those are just some of the things that they think that if you feel like you're in the presence of a haunting, well, there's other things that go on. Things can move in your house, temperature changes, things can disappear and reappear. There can be all kinds of noises that aren't associated with the house or with the furnaces or air conditioners or old houses settling or anything like that. There's all kinds of things that can lead you to going, huh, this is a little bit not normal. Remember I was telling you a little bit about the oil bottle in my pantry that likes to be smashed in half, and then I looked that up, and it said if you have really cold conditions in your pantry, that it can have a tendency to deflate your oil bottles and all that. Well, that was also the same, when that was discovered, that was the same day that I had terrible poltergeist activity. Everything from doors swinging open to things shooting against doors to that bottle being completely, completely smashed. If you can just take it and squish it in your hands and flatten it, that's what it looked like. And you tell me, okay, something's got to be very, 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 very cold in order to do that. But within the last couple weeks, something has been here. I don't know if it's been temporary and it's still here or going away. Like I said, the haunted clock has started up again. The handprint was discovered on my very dusty dresser last night. And this handprint showed up on me 2 weeks ago that didn't go away for 3 hours. And so I don't know exactly who it is. I haven't really reached out to talk to somebody yet to see if they can kind of narrow that down. But, unusual is unusual. So let's talk a little bit about this vengeful ghost here. Is it possible for ghosts who, let's say, murder somebody on this plane to come back and actually physically hurt them? I'm going to first bring up the Charles Manson display at Zach Bagan's Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, because he advertises this and shows it very frequently, so I feel it's safe to talk about it. This young lady was at the Charles Manson exhibit in one of the floors. Basically, Zach Bagans was able to get some of Charles Manson's ashes or whatever from his great or his grandson, and Charles Manson or somebody or his son made a picture of his image, and then he used the ashes, I think, in the eyeball area. Anyway, this gal was standing there, and she was just kind of thinking inside, you know, about what a rotten thing he did to, you know, people, et cetera, et cetera. And then she became very physically attacked, like something was stabbing her in the stomach. No one can honestly say that that was Charles Manson that did that to her, because that whole museum is completely, extremely haunted with so many different energies in there. You can't just say that Charles Manson did that. But on the other hand, if this is something, or he's mimicking something that he used to do to someone in life, I cannot recall this, if it was, there was a pregnant gal who was pregnant and she and her baby were stabbed by, I don't think it was him, but his groupies. And then that's what happened to this young lady. I don't know. Hard to explain, hard to know. So that would be one case. Another situation is, it goes back to this gal that I interviewed a couple years ago, whose sister was murdered by her sister's husband. I want to make sure I get this in the right context. So the story goes is that her sister and the sister's husband were having a marital fight. And it was pretty heated. I don't know if one of them was leaving the other or if one came out and said they were having an affair with someone or whatever, but they were outside at the time. And someone said something that incited the other to the point of extreme anger. And when the other turned around, I believe, to walk away or whatever, the husband picked up a rock or something very large and threw it at her, hit her in the head. She fell down, probably hit her head on another rock, and essentially that act killed her. And this happened, oh my God, I don't know, 8 to 14 years ago. I mean, this was a long time ago. But what's real interesting about this right now is that this past November, as in whatever it was, I haven't counted back, but this past November of 2019, he had just gotten out of jail for serving his time. Some months had gone by, I don't know how many, and he was out ice fishing, and he was he needed to adjust his ice house in some way or whatever. So what he did is he crawled underneath it, and his head was underneath it, and something gave way, and it fell down, and it crushed his head, and it killed him. So he kills, interesting, and I think they're buried next to each other, which is even more unusual. But anyway, do you believe that ghosts of the past, those who were murdered by someone could literally come back and seek their revenge in a way that we don't always understand? I know personally that things can move. I know personally that things can be thrown. I have been kicked up in the air. I know that when you have enough energy behind something, or perhaps the right opportunity, I know that all of a sudden things can happen. Was that a coincidence? Or was that the ex-wife, I think they're still technically married when she died, coming back and getting her own sweet revenge? If you go to the segment on Murder Manifest's sister, and the gal's name that I interviewed was Deb, that segment should interest you, because that sister hasn't left this plane. She's been around ever since she died, and she shows herself in various ways and does a lot of different things that makes it well known that she's still hanging about. But when this story was told to me in the last umpteen months by Deb, who I interviewed, that this act had happened to this husband, and that sweet revenge takes forms in many different ways, and they're very God-fearing people, very, very religious, I still to this day wonder if that's possible. I'm not sure. I can't answer that. But it certainly seems awfully coincidental, if you ask me, that his justice came the same way that it had happened to her. There's all kinds of things we could talk about regarding vengeful ghosts. I can tell you just from my own experiences that when I was kicked up in the air, it was because the miner in this bed and breakfast wasn't privy to snoring people and didn't like that, so was trying to basically shut me up by kicking me up in the air. All kinds of things. Lyle in that same bed and breakfast down the hallway. He didn't like ladies' makeup on his dresser, so he would. This is the Groveland Hotel, by the way, just outside of Yosemite National Park, in California. And in Lyle's room, he didn't like ladies' makeup on his dresser at all. And he would. You'd often find the stuff being thrown behind it or thrown off of it. When, you know, at certain periods of time. Oh, there's just all kinds of things. A lot of ghosts or apparitions, they make themselves known to me, but they don't necessarily try to hurt me. When I was in the haunted room and the mirror went cycling around, and like I said, I'm very traumatized still to this day by that moment. Was it trying to scare me? I know everything. There was no way that we could go anywhere else in that hotel. There was 12 ghosts in that hotel in Wales. And not only that, I was already told that many people ended up downstairs sleeping on the couch that night because of the hauntings in their rooms. For me, I wanted to prove it scared. I couldn't sleep all night. I got 2 hours of sleep. I left there. It was obvious I didn't get any sleep in that room, but I wanted to be in the most haunted room. They put me in the second most haunted room. But when that mirror started going back and forth, kind of shaking itself, because we always kept tightening the screws on it, like it was trying to untighten the screws, if you can imagine, and then na 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 na, and then started cycling around. If you can even begin to imagine seeing that visibly, you might think twice about it. But let's also talk about, just briefly, because this is going to bring us into the next segment here, the handprints that were on my pillow. So the light bulb had burnt out on the side of my bed. And I had told the manager that I needed a light bulb because I was planning to sleep with the lights on all night. And so the manager's janitorial staff tried to get into the room. The ghosts would not let them into the room. They came down to where we were eating, and basically, in a nutshell, she had asked for our key because that was the only other way to get into the room. Well, when we had gotten back to the room, of course, you have to ask if it's okay for you to come in. That's exactly what we were told, and that's what we did. The mirror was already in an odd position. There were handprints. I took a picture of this on my pillow. Literally two hands, literally on my pillow. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, the janitor probably did that just to scare us. Oh, the mirror's been finagled with just to scare us. Oh, what did he do in here just to scare us? No, my husband and I can both tell you that didn't come from the janitor. And what was going on in that room, my husband slept through it like a baby, but scared the bejesus out of me. I'm going to tell you that right now. So I still wonder what's going on in that hotel. I'm going to try and look up reviews to see if anyone else has had experiences since. But one of the things that I've learned about myself since that time is that I have a frequency in me. We all have frequencies, okay? And they're at different levels. I have a very high frequency, maybe not higher than a psychic, but the next level down. And I'm like, they always say, like a beam of light. If they think they can communicate with you, or they think that you believe enough to be able to acknowledge their presence, they will come to you. And this is why I have so many situations now that I can write about, because every time I turn around, something different is happening to me. But what struck me about the handprints on the pillow, believe it or not, I can't remember at the time if I laid on top of them or if I turned the pillow upside down, but I slept on that pillow. Okay, now does that mean that I took whatever was on that pillow with me? It's possible. Anything's possible. I still have experiences. But can someone at least explain to me how that handprint ended up like blood red on my body and it took 3 hours to go away? Where did it come from? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. So give me just a moment. I'll be right back And we'll talk about that whole episode. Stay tuned.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Welcome back. Well, let's talk about those handprints, shall we? So what I did is I'm going to kind of bring you into my world for a moment on what I experienced when all that happened, and maybe you can make some sense out of it for me. So we all know that this COVID-19 is here and is going to be here for a while. We know that some people are asymptomatic. We know that some people have symptoms, and they come in many different forms. I think I've had flu-like symptoms now on and off here ever since last November, December. And there are times when I swear I already have had this COVID that's going around. This particular night, I didn't feel good at all. I felt very fluish, flu-like symptoms, very kind of nauseated, sick. Everything was heightened from smell to you name it. And I just wasn't feeling well. So, of course, the first thing that I'm thinking to myself is, oh, God, I hope I really don't have a bout of this COVID. Maybe it's now here and I have it. And maybe I did have it. I don't know. One of the things that I can tell you, though, is so I went to bed around, you know, I'm a night owl. I can work all hours of the night with the exception of past 3 a.m., but I think I went to bed that evening around 2 o'clock a.m. and just feeling nauseated. And when I laid down, I actually, you might say, well, how was my breathing? My breathing was a little bit labored, okay? That was affected too. And I figured if I just laid down and I could just go to sleep, that I would shake whatever was in me and I could get it out of me and feel better the next morning. So sometimes it takes me a while to get to sleep, and I was just laying there, probably no more than 5-10 minutes or whatever. And this overpowering, I'm not going to use the word stench, but it was a very overpowering, flowery smell that was just surrounding my nose, literally. And I thought to myself, God, what, you know, my husband's shampoo is just driving me nuts here, you know, or was it my own shampoo, or where is this? This smell is just so intense. And I just remember it being a very, very intense smell. Okay. Well, I didn't think much more of that. I do recall when I laid there that I hoped that my breathing wasn't going to be labored much more than that. And I just remember feeling really sick. Okay. Well, in the morning when I woke up, you know, you get out of bed and you drag yourself to the bathroom, of course. And when I turned to, look into the mirror, my eyeballs must have just flown open, you know, a yardstick wide. I was just absolutely shocked. Here on my body, if you can take your right hand and place it between your shoulder and your breast area, okay, right between there. And usually if you press really, really hard, even if you're flushed, the color that you will see is a white color from your imprint, okay? Well, mine was a handprint. It was kind of like what you see when something kind of slides down. So if you take your right hand and you just slide it down, you know, towards the middle of your chest a little bit, towards your heart, slide it down towards your heart. it was obvious that there was a thumb in there and four fingers. Now, in this case, it was, but what was interesting is flip your hand upside down. So your thumb is actually pointing outward towards your right, and your pinky is towards your neck. And it's like, oh, how weird is that? Okay, it was like a backwards handprint. And it stayed, it was very, very red. And I just looked at it and stared at it with just absolute horror, like, where did that come from? I have never, ever in my life have ever had that happen to me before. But I do recall just how the smell, the flowery smell, very intense and stinky. In fact, I think I recall pulling the covers up over my nose a little bit because it's just smelled, you know, and just the bright red, very, very intense red, very obvious. I mean, it was like someone painted a handprint on my body. Well, of course, I showed my husband, and, you know, right off the bat, I didn't do that. Well, duh, you know. I just started researching handprints and how they show up and why they show up and all that. And I'm going to just read off to you just some tidbits that I found, but no explanation. In my research, well, and then the handprint last night, exact same handprint. If you can imagine your dresser being next to you with a lot of dust on it. Now, I'm sorry, I'm just not a good housekeeper when it comes to dust. But when I do dust, I'm a very good housekeeper. But anyway, I was it was in a place where I put my water bottles. I just set my water bottles down, and it had never been there before. So it just so happens I picked up this water bottle. And it wasn't like the dragging of the water bottle because it was a clear hand. I took a picture of that too. But it had a really quirky, really weird digit next to the pinky. I'm not going to use the word alien here, but I'm just saying, okay, I'm just saying. You know the fingers that they always show on TV that looks kind of alien-like? That's exactly what looked like on my body. That long fingers, then it didn't match my fingers, I'll tell you that right now. And also, it was just very long fingered, but this one had a really weird digit right next to the pinky. I couldn't see the thumb very well. The thumb was actually, if you flip your left hand upside down, and you see your thumb, and then right next to it, like if you take your pinky, and you put it between your thumb and the digit that's to the right, and have a little hook on it, that was what was in between. Then a long finger, and there was actually three long fingers and the thumb in that really weird-looking thumb-like digit, whatever you want to call it. And it showed up really, really well in the dust. Let's put it to you that way. And I said to my husband, do you want to come over and look at this? No, he didn't want to come over and look at it all. He was too chicken, you know. So I took a picture of it, and I showed it to him. And, of course, he's sitting there going, are you sure you didn't, like, touch that area? I said, no, I never touched that area. I don't even know how long that's been sitting there. Maybe it just needed enough dust to actually, you know, surface and show itself, which lends me to the very first point that I want to make here. You've heard stories before where people say, oh, I have handprints all over my car. Okay. Well, don't buy into that it's always paranormal because it's not. A lot of times the oils from people's fingers and hands that are on these vehicles, when they've been touched, even for long periods of time, have a tendency to expose themselves if you dust them enough with some dust or whatever, and people have a tendency to want to pass that off as paranormal. Another thing is when it comes to handprints, you can use that same philosophy for anything else. How do you know it's paranormal and not something that's finally just surfaced or lifted due to the dust that's on top of it? Let me see in this article here. this article, this one, there's a handprint. This woman was wondering if she had a handprint from her husband that showed up on the mirror, which was a very obvious handprint. And I had looked at it and studied it, and it looked like a regular handprint. And she said that she felt it was of her deceased husband and all that. And it was just, and it came about because of the steam from the shower. And then it, like I said, when you have a soft powdery substance that goes over these types of things, sometimes it just shows the structure and the bone structure and everything. And you can do process of elimination. But in my case, hate to tell you this, it looked like alien hands to me. I'll never know what that was unless I ask somebody, but as time goes on, it might be more difficult to ask that question. And then finally here, just talking with, there's this, a psychic here who wanted to explain handprints on the body. Is that a message from beyond? She felt, just in looking at some of her responses, that not often is that really a guide or an angel. I'm just looking here about asking if it could be anything that there was a medical situation where this showed for some odd reason. You know, again, how often do we sit there and put our hands on ourselves to the point where it can make this imprint over time? I don't know. She felt, though, that, you know, these things show up. There's over 1,000 reports of people having handprints show up on their legs, their chests, their backs, their stomachs, everywhere, that they literally cannot figure out how it got there. And they're all reporting that they disappear. They stay on the body, but basically disappear anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 weeks afterwards. Mine disappeared, stayed on my body for 3 hours. This one's reporting it stayed on their body for 2 hours. And then, of course, whether or not it could have been just a print. No, it's an actual hand print. Okay. And so she's just trying to tell people, you know, a lot of people, the commonality on this, again, there's no scratch with it. There's no purple bruising or anything like that. They're all describing it in the same way. Deep red marking, handprint, various ages, various places, large, small. Some people reporting, again, you know, the handprints that show up on walls and everything like that, and ledges in the houses, and they weren't there before. But very obvious, not something that you just make into it. Here's one where this one talked about a four-fingered disformed handprint on the rib. That's interesting because, again, four fingers definitely were very obvious. The fifth finger was very, very light and very, very sometimes difficult to see whether it was a thumb or a pinky or something like that. Here's one about the thumb being pointed down. This one said that this was a second handprint on this person's chest, and that this time the shape was actually pointed down, and they couldn't figure out where that was coming from. So this psychic woman who was receiving all of these handprints things here wasn't really giving out much information, because I'm going to be honest, I don't think she knows. Honestly, I'm not going to name her name, but looking at this, I don't see responses about what they are. These people are really wondering what it is. And, you know, all of a sudden it's like, you know, people are writing about them. And, but you never know who or what it's coming from, or if it's a birthmark now. It can look like a red, deep red bookmark, birthmark, but not necessarily. It's all being described the exact same way that mine showed up. How have I been feeling since? Fine. I mean, I have bouts that come and go on, sometimes you just kind of feel a little bit off, but for the most part, it hasn't showed up since. I haven't had the same symptoms since. And the only other thing that I can think of is, let's just say hypothetically, I had some kind of COVID activity going on inside my body, and I was kind of struggling a little bit with my breathing a little bit. How do I not know that something was there to try to You know what it's like when you try to wake somebody? That's usually the area or the shoulder that you try to move. And it's possible that I stopped breathing and something was just basically trying to wake me up. But it wasn't, like I said, it was very flowery smell, very odd, very obvious. And then that showed up, so I had a visitor, but I don't exactly know who. Well, I hope that you learned something from this program tonight. I'm sorry that there's a lot of mumble that went on in it, but sometimes I get carried away and I just get so excited that I am trying to get all the details in. And I just hope that between the revenge of the ghosts and the handprints that are now showing up, my question will be is what's next? Okay, I thought I'd lived through just about everything, and I guess I haven't. So something out there is going to show itself in another way, and then I'm going to report that, of course, because as usual, I am a walking magnet to the paranormal. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. Most appreciative. Please stay tuned as I try to bring interesting segments and guests to this show as much and as often as I can. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care. And until next time,
be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or ParaX Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, ParaX Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.